Mike Malloy here. I hope you have a happy and peaceful holiday season.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Buoyed by the capture of Saddam Hussein, U.S. troops began Christmas celebrations Tuesday, even as Iraqi Christians prepared for a low-key holiday, many congregations delaying midnight services until daybreak amid worries of violence. The holiday brings mixed feelings for Iraq's 700,000 Christians. There are prayers for a better future, but also some fears that if unrest continues, it could revive an exodus of Christians and other Iraqis. Receiving a Christmas card from George and Laura Bush themselves, postmarked Crawford, Texas, is a bit of a thrill, until that is you discover there are 1.5 million others on the White House list. This year, Mr. Bush sent out a record 1.5 million cards to his closest friends, supporters, foreign dignitaries, and assorted hacks and hangers-on. The Bush card follows recent presidential tradition in portraying a White House scene cleansed of any human presence that might trigger scrutiny for hidden meanings. Last year's picture of a presidential piano was criticized as being cold and unseasonal. This year's card features altogether warmer colors, showing a fireplace flanked by two buttery yellow armchairs in the White House diplomatic reception room. Holiday gift-giving isn't just for people anymore, not when they can choose from the latest bling-bling for their pets, too. The Wall Street Journal reports Ralph Lauren is pitching Fair Isle sweaters and polo shirts for dogs. Others can buy sterling silver pet tags from Tiffany. Kosher Pets of Fort Lauderdale, Florida offers Hanukkah collars, stuffed dreidels, and even kosher dog biscuits. Some pet owners try to get their animals into the spirit of the season, but it doesn't always work. Ken Boschert of Washington University in Seattle says his dachshunds hate it when his wife puts the antlers on them. More IE American Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
It doesn't matter if you're naughty or nice, if you're a prisoner in Arkansas, you will receive a gift this Christmas. Prison officials will give each of the 13,500 inmates in the state two apples, two oranges, as well as $5 on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, in a bid to make life a bit brighter for those behind bars over the holidays. The $70,000 cost of the program is paid for by prison vending machine profits and from rebates the system receives on long-distance calls placed by inmates. The fresh fruit is donated from various U.S. orchards. For security reasons, the prison system forbids inmates' friends and relatives from sending gifts to prisoners at any time of year, except for gift packages purchased through prison commissaries. This is Don Waller in New York. On behalf of us all here at IE America Network News, have a safe and happy holiday.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Here's a novel concept. If you work full-time and do a good job, you shouldn't be paid so poorly that you live in poverty. Try to tell that to the federal government, though. An independent study released by Acorn, the grassroots advocate for the working poor, finds that corporations enjoying fat, tax-paid contracts from the feds are paying poverty wages to the people actually doing the contract work. The same federal government that sets precise standards for, say, the tensile strength of screws that it buys, sets no standards for the fair pay of people working under its contracts. The study, conducted by the Economic Policy Institute, revealed that 11% of federal contract employees received less than a living wage, which is to say, their paychecks are too low to lift them and their families above the poverty level. In this period of economic prosperity and federal surpluses, in this period when Congress annually raises its own pay, in this period when federal contracts routinely cover the million-dollar paychecks of the corporate CEOs getting the contracts, it's absurd that our tax dollars would be used to subsidize sub-poverty pay. Ironically, while the companies profit on the backs of these workers, many of the workers themselves have to turn to food stamps, housing assistance, and other federal poverty programs just to make ends meet. This means that we taxpayers are hit with a double whammy. First, we're subsidizing low-wage companies. Then, we have to provide services to assuage the poverty of their workers. This is Jim Hightower saying, better that the contractors themselves be required to pay fair wages from the start. Which is why the Living Wage Responsibility Act has been introduced in Congress, sponsored by Representative Luis Gutierrez of Illinois. It requires big businesses that get federal contracts to pay their employees a wage no less than the federal poverty level. For more information, contact ACORN, 202-547-2500.
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network, streaming from the depths of outer space on Sirius Satellite Radio System, stream 145, and beaming around the planet on radiopower.org. Live365.com and IEAmericaRadio.com with archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can find it all at TomHartman.com, where you can also drop into our chat room, which already is filling up with folks. It's the Christmas holiday here. It's the today is Christmas Eve, and it's we're going to do a little what's naughty and what's nice. But you know, I want to put it in context. This program, we're calling for return to the old values that made America great, the values that this country was founded on. That's where corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians. You know, it used to be a felony for corporations to lobby. It was called bribery and influencing. Where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less. Where there was a social contract, and everybody understood it. I mean, you go back and you listen to the speeches that Franklin Roosevelt gave, even up until the era of Jack Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson, people understood that there was a social contract in America and in all of the democracies of the world. That, and it's not just about, oh, well, let's just throw some money at welfare mothers. No, what it is that people's basic needs are taken care of, because that's what you do in a community, in a nation that's founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. And the most effective of those programs is a living wage, is guaranteeing people a living wage. And there is no such thing as an absolutely free market. Businesses exist because government authorizes them, and they exist on a matrix that is put there by government. That is to say, they use the currency that the government authorizes, they use the banking system that the government allows to exist, that they have contract law between corporations. They can engage in business, and those contracts are enforced with a court system that you and I pay for with our tax dollars. which is why it's entire. And they're using a workforce that is educated at our expense, and they're using the public streets for people to get to work, and they're using the right-of-ways to get their power system and their water and their sewage and all these things, and that's why it's appropriate that corporations be paying income taxes. Although, obviously, Halliburton doesn't think that, you know, reincorporating their divisions in the Caymans so they can avoid paying taxes. But it's just, this is a core issue where people can work to get ahead. I mean, that's the best welfare program is guaranteeing people, if they're working, they're getting a reasonable wage. But at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets, because there are some people who simply can't work. And you can go back to, in 1779, Thomas Jefferson introduced a bill to provide for the poor. This is nothing that new, and it's not something that LBJ started. America has always been grounded in an understanding of on the one hand, we want to make sure that people have opportunity and can get ahead if they are able. And that if somebody is willing to spend their life working, even in the service of others, even in, you know, working for somebody else's business, that work is going to be appropriately compensated so that they can have a decent life in this country. And that those who cannot care for themselves and have nobody to care for them, we will collectively take care of, because it simply improves the quality of our own lives. It's really the ultimate selfishness. So anyhow, the eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism? And today, you know, it being the day before Christmas, we're gonna do some naughty and nice stuff. I want to go through who has been naughty and who has been nice with the old Santa Claus is coming to town song. Remember that? Yes, indeed. And he's making a list and checking it twice. Who's been nice? Well, among the folks who have been nice, actually, we'll do the naughty first. The AARP, for abandoning its commitment to the nation's senior citizens and its dues-paying members. I mean, this is a marvelous example, what the AARP does, the American Association of Retired Persons. Their CEO, William Novelli, was director of the ad agency. He had the founder of the ad agency, Novelli and somebody or other, that did the Harry and Louise ads. You remember those? That just blew the Bill Clinton attempt at Medicare reform. Well, it wasn't Medicare. I mean, it was an entire health system reform program out of the water. It was his ad agency that put that thing together. And this guy, you know, right-wing crank has made his way up to the top of, well, I shouldn't call him a crank. I don't know. He's probably a very decent person. You know what's amazing is I am absolutely convinced that everybody, even Ann Coulter, believes that they're doing the right thing. It's very rare that you encounter somebody who just knows that they are in every dimension of their life doing the wrong thing and can survive. I mean, people like that tend to go down in flames pretty quickly. And I'm sure he's got some rationale and rationalizations for what he's doing. But the bottom line is that AARP, which, you know, a nonprofit organization, which has built a reputation of being an advocacy group for seniors, has instead, under William Novelli's management, become an advocacy group for the nation's largest corporations, in particular the insurance corporations, who are going to make out like bandits with this Medicaid bill, which AARP spent $7 million advertising all across the United States. And now we have, for example, this AP story. Senior citizens angry over AARP's endorsement of the Medicare bill are ripping up and burning their AARP membership cards and flooding the lobbying group's internet message board with complaints in what could be the biggest revolt in its ranks since the 1980s. And Isaac Ben Ezra, president of the Massachusetts Senior Action Council, said he led a demonstration of about 40 people against the bill in Massachusetts. He said the bill destroys one of the most successful programs in the history of this country. And it is. It is the beginning of the dismantling of that, you know, of the Medicare dimension of the broad Social Security. I mean, Medicare and Social Security are separate programs, but they come under the same philosophical umbrella, which is that we take care of ourselves. There's this thing called the commons. The commons in this case is Well, first of all, what are the commons? There are all the public streets, the police department, the fire department. There are things that we own in common. The common, you know, that's why states are called commonwealths. I mentioned this yesterday. And these things that we own in common are the things, generally we decide they're the things that are critical to life. We decide in a democracy that there are some things that are too important to us because our survival depends on them, to put into the hands of people who can then use them to squeeze us for profit. It's why up until the Reagan Revolution, the vast majority of hospitals in the United States, and it may well have been all of them, I believe the laws were state by state, so I can't say absolutely, but in every state I ever lived in, and I've lived in four, that the hospitals were all nonprofits. They were required by law to be nonprofits. Because nobody wanted a for-profit corporation to have their hands around the throat of our healthcare system. Well, Bill Frist, I mean, you know, when they started legalizing profit corporations moving into the hospital business, that's how Bill Frist's family made their hundreds of millions. The head of the Republican head of the Senate, a former physician. So, anyhow, we have these nonprofits like AARP that are supposed that have put themselves forward as advocating for the commons, advocating for their constituents. But the bottom line is that nonprofits won't save our commons any more than for-profits will. And, you know, this is the big myth. I mean, corporations are running all these ads. It's called greenwashing. They're saying, look at all this wonderful work that we're doing. You know, tobacco actually will kill you. We're telling you about it. Or, you know, we're helping, you know, we're giving money to help educate kids about the dangers of alcohol. And these kind of things. Corporations aren't going to save the commons. The Supreme Court has ruled that if an officer in a corporation does anything that doesn't enhance corporate profits, that person has, quote, failed in their fiduciary responsibility, end quote, which is a crime. And it's therefore, corporations, when they do what looks like altruism, it's really advertising wrapped in the appearance of altruism, and it's not it. The only way that we can protect our commons is by having institutions that we own, not that we can become members of like the AARP, but that we own, and that we elect the people who run them. And we can pull those people back by not electing them, by choosing to vote against them. And that's called government in a democracy. You know, it's just amazing to hear cons rant and rail against government as if this was the Soviet Union. It's not. We have a democracy here, not a dictatorship. So anyhow, the naughty was the AARP. The nice is MoveOn.org. MoveOn.org has done some just extraordinary stuff. In talking about nonprofit organizations, it's done some just extraordinary stuff in the last year, and a year and a half or so since they just kind of came out of nowhere. And we had Eli on the program a while ago, one of the founders of MoveOn.org. And here's one of their ads, just one of the ads that they've run. It's just great. Just
we could have built 10,000 new schools or hired almost 2 million new teachers. We could have rebuilt our electric grid. We could have insured more of our children. Instead, George Bush wants to spend that $87 billion in Iraq. If there's money for Iraq, why isn't there money for America? The truth is, we're not being led. We're being misled.
Yeah, powerful ads. So, our naughty and nice AARP and MoveOn.org in the category of nonprofit organizations. And MoveOn.org, of course, is www.moveon.org if you want to go check them out. And AARP is www.aarp.org if you want to let them know what you think about them. And it's a little problematic. Nice in the category of troops. Nice are U.S. troops. The named Times Person of the Year. Congratulations for uncommon skills and service for the choice each one of them has made, and each one's and the ones still ahead for the challenge of defending not only our freedoms but those barely stirring half a world away, as Time magazine says. Naughty, the Bush administration for trying to roll back the imminent danger pay from $225 to $150, and the family's separation allowance from $250 to $100 for our American troops. Naughty and nice U.S. troops. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right. Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
It's a Kwanzaa celebration. Honor elders from the family tree. If not the
for them, there'd be no you and me receiving glory from above. It's a Kwanzaa celebration. Come together with your family. To our history with the harvest of our love.
And welcome back. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And Shelby at radiopower.org, this great organization that streams our program on the web to nearly 100 countries so far, and my understanding is well over 10,000 people. She sent me this morning, Why Christmas Should Be More Commercial, from the Ayn Rand Institute, which gets us to our naughty and nice think tanks. But before I get to this, let me just share with you this quick little little clip from it that adbusters.org put together that kind of puts this into perspective.
The average North American consumes 5 times more than a Mexican, 10 times more than a Chinese person, and 30 times more than a person from India. We are the most voracious consumers in the world. A world that could die because of the way we North Americans live.
And so in response, the Ayn Rand Institute says, Why Christmas Should Be More Commercial. Contrary to lore, this holiday was established by Americans to celebrate worldly goods and happiness. It was taken over by Christianity. Yes, that's, of course, why it's called Christmas. Christmas is by Leonard Pykoff. Christmas in America is an exuberant display of human ingenuity, capitalist productivity, and the enjoyment of life. Yet all of these are castigated as materialistic. The real meaning of the holiday, we are told, is assorted nativity tales and altruist injunctions like love thy neighbor that no one takes seriously. Well, I would suggest that Leonard has missed something in one of those critical developmental phases or something. He goes on, he wraps this thing up. America's tragedy is that its intellectual leaders have repeatedly tried to replace happiness with guilt by insisting that the spiritual meaning of Christmas is religion and self-sacrifice for Tiny Tim or his equivalent. Well, you know, Christmas is not about guilt for me. Just the whole holiday season. Sorry, Leonard, but I think most people who have some sense of celebration of Christmas do it for very positive reasons. For us, it's a time that all our children come home and we get together with them, so it's a time of family. I mean, it's a time of, just an anchoring to a tradition. It's for those who find the religious dimension of it meaningful. It's not about self-flagellation and guilt. It's about connecting with a mystical experience, something larger than you, something that's meaningful. It's about love. It's these are positive values. But the Ayn Rand Institute says, but the spiritual must start with recognizing reality. Life requires reason, selfishness, capitalism. That is what Christmas should celebrate. Off it goes. And on the other hand, the positive think tanks, the other downer think tank, the Heritage Foundation's townhall.com. I'll give you the positive ones after the break. But here, get this. This Kathleen Parker runs this op-ed piece in the Heritage Foundation's website, quoting a letter that she got. She says, these bastards like Clark and Kerry and that incipient-ass Dean and Gephardt and Kucinich and that absolute mental midget Sharpton race baiter should all be lined up and shot. I mean, this is the quality of the discourse we're getting out of the conservative think tanks. It's really, I think, frankly, rather tragic, this and the whole kind of culturism of America. I'll have something to read to you a little later on that I think is just amazing in that context, or share with you. And the positive think tanks, I'll tell you about when we come right back from this break. Stay tuned. This is Tom Harpin on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back in a moment.
Thieves. Mountains and High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves and High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves and High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, this is John Lucas from Operations here at IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
Warmer world might dump more snow on some places that already get plenty of it. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Every winter, parts of Michigan and New York are blanketed in precipitation called lake effect snow. It comes after cold winter air blows over the warm waters of the Great Lakes. The air picks up a lot of moisture, and when that moisture moves over land, it falls out as snow. Adam Burnett says lake effect snow might pile up as the world gets warmer. Burnett is a geographer who studies climatology at Colgate University in Hamilton, New York. Burnett and other researchers examined weather records across the Great Lakes region during the 20th century. They say slight increases in summertime temperatures might be warming the Great Lakes. In the winter, those warmer waters might lead to more lake effect snow in Michigan and New York. Burnett says Syracuse, New York is a good example. Its annual snowfall in the 1930s was about 8.5 feet. In the 1990s, it was up to about 11.5 feet. Burnett says changes like this have pluses and minuses for communities around the Great Lakes.
Lake effect snowfall in many areas in the Great Lakes, it's a significant element in regional water budgets, and municipal water supply, recreation, snow removal. It's a big thing.
Burnett says this kind of climate research attracts attention for some very practical reasons.
There are some aspects of science and the environment that you can pretty much go through life ignoring, but when you have to shovel the driveway and when you have to drive to work and when you have to scrape the snow off the hood of the car, it pretty much is staring you right in the face at that point. So people are usually interested.
Burnett says this is just one example of how global warming can have a local impact. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Doolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
At your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos.
27 before the hour. Now, right on the heels of Nat King Cole, we have Robin in Victor, West Virginia, who
is... no replacement. And I'm sorry for the lousy phone connection, by the way.
Well, I thought that buzz was something going off in my head, and I thought, no, I stopped doing that years ago. So, but anyway...
No, it's the 210 cans and the string from the fine folks at Verizon.
That's very true. Now, you have a Halliburton Christmas song?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well...
I've actually got a couple more. I don't want to do them. You know what? We'd love to hear you and Kathy sing.
Yeah, well, you may sometime.
I'll email them.
Yeah, probably not in this lifetime, but you may hear that. No, will you send us one? We'll be happy to sing it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm going to do this.
Okay, here we go.
I'm going to hate myself later.
Do you need any kind of an introduction?
No, it's to the tune of Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland. Yeah. All right.
Weapons of mass destruction were a fictitious construction. There are none to be found, but there's oil underground for Halliburton's profiteering scam. In the mess halls, we got vermin. Fuel contracts have a squirming. But there's wealth to be had down in Baghdad for Halliburton's filthy little scam. In the middle, we can build a green zone and pretend that everything is fine. You'll ask, aren't you worried? We'll say no, sir, because no one we know is on the firing line. Later on, we'll conspire and decide who to hire, for phase two of the scheme is a puppet regime for Halliburton's profiteering scam.
That's great. That's great. Absolutely, Robin. You are too talented by a factor of about six. You have another one, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'll make this one real quick.
Now, which one is this?
This is Good King Wenceslas.
Good King Wenceslas, one of my favorites. Let her rip.
Okay. Good King Double, you looked out at the greed and thieving, thought that's what it's all about, no fun breaking even. Gladly do my cronies give for a chance to profit. Kenny Boy walks free today, despite the government audit.
That's very good. That's very good.
I'll save you the two good ones.
All right, send them on. I don't know that we'll do them tonight, but maybe we'll do them January 2nd if we're
you
here.
You guys have a great holiday vacation, and don't worry about the misery in the future.
Hey, thanks, Robin. I appreciate it. Back
right.
at you too.
Merry Christmas.
All right, sir. Take care. Merry Christmas to you. I think it's time for the Christmas message from Pickles, don't you think? Maybe we should do, we captured this. This went out on closed circuit radio to Christian broadcasting stations. No, actually, that was, no, this one, how do we get this one, Kathy? It came, this was just a general announcement, White House announcement. Right, okay, let's hear from Laura Pickles Bush, the First Lady of the United States.
My fellow Americans, this Christmas the President and I will spend our holy days in the White House behind bolted doors, comfy cozy in the knowledge that the Secret Service will pick off any nosy member of the public who tries to get within 50 feet of our lovely taxpayers' tree. For the past several years, we have kicked off the baby Jesus' birthday by sipping an oversized mug of my fabulous cocoa, while we honor our Yuletide tradition of leaving messages on our daughters' voicemails telling them at which liquor store Santa gave them a store credit. I'm told that every Christmas, Jenna and Barbara enjoy their traditional spirited competition of downing alternating red and green shot glasses filled with things that, as a concerned mother, I stopped asking about a long time ago. Every American family celebrates Christmas in its own special way. That is what makes our country so wonderful, its commitment to celebrate and honor diversity. What is important is that no matter how we celebrate Christmas, we are all honoring the birth of our Lord and Savior, the only path that leads away from the smoldering brimstone furnaces of an everlasting hell. During the 8 years that we will be in office, the President and I want to make it a holy day's tradition to spend thousands of taxpayer dollars on decorations the American public will only briefly glimpse on television. So from our house, which you'll never see, to your house, which we honestly don't care about, this is Laura Pickles Bush wishing almost all of you happy holy days.
Actually, I think that came to us courtesy of BettyBowers.com. Great religious website on the internet, BettyBowers.com. For all of you who are true believers in the everlasting furnaces of hell, you might want to go to BettyBowers.com. From Sharon, hi, Mike, from the state that brings you mad cow disease, and it's Yakima. I think I said Yakima later. From the state that brings you mad cow disease, last night, Cheney, this is a Cheney sighting. Cheney was in Washington State for a fundraiser for Nethercutt, a Republican who is challenging our Senator Patty Murray. He arrived under stealth guard about 7 p.m., and I'm sure his physician, you know, the one we taxpayers foot the bill for, 24-hour-a-day care, there was a crowd of probably 200 people protesting Cheney's visit. A few, maybe 50, were for the Republican flag-waving side. The other 200 were for our side. It was very peaceful, but a lot of cool signs like, "Pull out now, Dick! Give war a chance! Give the pretzel another chance! Anyone else for president? Just dicking around, Americans, thanks for the $87 billion. Sorry about your kids," and things like that. Anyway, this was not a well-advertised visit, and on this busy street corner, boasting the most lucrative mall in the state, Bellevue Square, at 7 p.m. there was much camaraderie, passing out of information, and support from the passersby. The people there were pretty savvy, but many of them had not heard of your show. WTF? Yeah, indeed. Anyway, I was pleased to give them your website to stream the show. Love your show. It is amazing and keeps me going along with news from Democracy Now. We must keep hope alive even in the darkest times. Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. We've talked about libertarians on this program, and we have quite a few that listen to us. I think left libertarians are they're kind of weird, which makes them kind of cool and groovy. I think our good friend who does the White Rose Society website, Ben Birch, is a left libertarian, isn't he? Right libertarians are just freaks. I mean, they're crazy. They're crazy. Leonard Peikoff, or Peikoff, P-E-I-K-O-F-F, wrote a thing. He is the founder of the Ayn Rand Institute, which promotes libertarian philosophy of Ayn Rand. I know a lot of you have read Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead. There's another freak. Sorry, Ayn Rand to me was just like... Anyway, he writes the following. This is very interesting. Celebrate capitalism with joy, not shame. Christmas in America is an exuberant display of human ingenuity, capitalist productivity, and the enjoyment of life. Yet all of these are castigated as materialistic. The real meaning of the holiday, we are told, is assorted nativity tales and altruistic injunctions like love your neighbor that no one takes seriously. In fact, Christmas as we celebrate it today is a 19th century American invention. The freedom and prosperity of post-Civil War America created the happiest nation in history. The result was a desire to celebrate, to revel in the goods and pleasures of life on earth. Christmas, which was not a federal holiday until 1870, became the leading American outlet for this feeling. Historically, people have always celebrated the winter solstice as the time when the days begin to lengthen, indicating the earth's return to life. Ancient Romans, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. By the 4th century, the pagans were worshipping the god of the sun on December 25th, and the Christians came to a decision. If you can't stop them, join them! They claimed that the date of Jesus' birth was... They claimed December 25th was the date of Jesus' birth and usurped the solstice holiday for their church. Even after the Christians stole Christmas, they were ambivalent about it. The holiday was inherently a pro-life festival of earthly renewal, but the Christians preached renunciation, sacrifice, and concern for the next world, not this one. Then came the major developments of the 19th century, capitalism, which would be industrialization, urbanization, the triumph of science, all of it leading to easy transportation, efficient mail delivery, the widespread publishing of books and magazines, new inventions making life comfortable and exciting, and the rise of entrepreneurs who understood that the way to make a profit was to produce something good and sell it to a mass market. For the first time, the giving of gifts became a major feature of Christmas. Early Christians denounced gift-giving as a Roman practice, and Puritans called it diabolical. But Americans were not to be deterred. Thanks to capitalism, there was enough wealth to make gifts possible, a great productive apparatus to advertise them and make them available cheaply, and a country so content that men wanted to reach out to their friends and express their enjoyment of life. The whole country took with glee to giving gifts on an unprecedented scale. All the best customs of Christmas, from carols to trees to spectacular decorations, have their roots in pagan ideas and practices. These customs were greatly amplified by American culture as the product of reason, science, business, worldliness, and egoism. In other words, the pursuit of happiness. America's tragedy is that its intellectual leaders have typically tried to replace happiness with guilt by insisting that the spiritual meaning of Christmas is religion and self-sacrifice for Tiny Tim or his equivalent. But the spiritual must start with recognizing reality. Life requires reason, selfishness, capitalism.
That is what Christmas should celebrate. And really, underneath all the pretense, that is what it does celebrate. It is time to take the Christ out of Christmas and turn the holiday into a guiltlessly egoistic, pro-reason, this-worldly, commercial celebration. Signed, Leonard Peikoff, founder of the Ayn Rand Institute.
Take Christ out of Christmas. All right. All right. Great stuff. David is calling from San Francisco. Hey, David.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Hey. You had some good talent on tonight. That was great.
We just got started, pal.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. Pretty good. By the way, before you had some of the talent, there was a fellow that called in, and he was talking about he plugged Coca-Cola on here. And I'm not sure if he knows it, but there's definitely a boycott of Coca-Cola going. They've been murdering people for a while.
Right. Here. He said he had to drink Coke because they were out of ROC Coca-Cola. He drinks RC Coca-Cola. Here in the South, we have Coca-Cola and we have RC Coca-Cola. That's how we say it.
You mean Royal Crown?
Yeah, we call it. We're stupid down here, so we call it.
No, I remember. Oh, shoot, I lived in St. Louis.
Well, that's not the South.
I'm saying initials.
We have two drinks down here. You have Coca-Cola.
E. Cummins and.
You have Coca-Cola, or you have ROC Coca-Cola. And then you have Orange Coca-Cola, and you have Great Neon.
It's really Royal Crown, right?
Well, yeah, but everything down here is Coca-Cola to us because we live in the South.
Oh, okay. Okay. Like, if it's getting that bad, because I remember we had six different kinds of root beer.
What you get on a summer day here, you get an ROC Coca-Cola and a Moon Pie, and you pour peanuts into the RC, and then you kick back, and God is in heaven, and all is right with the world. But that's not why you called.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. Actually, we were hearing, of course, about Halliburton and doing the ripoff. I think the singer that just ended pretty well covered my bases
yes.
with that. He did a fine job with that. By the way, I guess you know Bush is still taking credit for the capture of Saddam,
yeah.
even though the Kurds did it.
Yeah, right. Well, that's sure. Of course he is.
Now, apparently, I didn't see it myself, but apparently the White House is claiming, well, you see, we didn't want to give credit to the Kurds because they might get assassinated. You know, they'd be killed by the Saddam's loyalists, right?
Right.
And, I think the Kurds have been holding them off pretty well for a long time.
And the Turks.
Yeah, and it's pretty, you know, and it's not to spoil for war, but, you know, these people have been, it's time to calm things down out there rather than, exacerbate them. And Bush just taking the credit is just, it's bizarre. It's such sloppy foreign policy.
But it's George Bush.
It's not even professional.
No,
you know,
but
like, it's just not even professional.
I understand, but it's the essential George Bush.
Well, if he's going to insult the nation, ruin the economy by his, foreign policy is the economy. If everybody hates the country, then nobody wants to buy your stuff. It doesn't matter how good your product is, nobody wants to buy it because it comes from, this place that insults and invades.
It's going to be interesting to see will be the stock market tomorrow with this report of mad cow disease now discovered in the state of Washington and Japanese announcement that they are refusing all American beef, and South Korea will very quickly follow suit. So it'll be fun in a macabre sort of way to see what happens to the American Stock Exchange tomorrow.
Oh, well, that was one of the reasons why I called, too. We've got what Jubilee is?
Yeah, that's the forgiveness of debt.
Yeah, and right now, probably the best way to resolve much of the world's problems. I think I heard historically almost every war that's ever been has been about trade.
Yeah.
And so it usually involves debts that can't get paid.
What a wonderful thing if all these debts, especially to the emerging nations, the so-called third world nations, if it were canceled, most of it is debt service anyway. And most of it, well, maybe not most of it, but a huge chunk of it. And when you have to pay back debt and deny your people health insurance and education and public health, vaccinations and that sort of thing, you are asking for trouble. But that's what we've always done. I strongly believe in the idea of Jubilee.
Sure, and it makes sense. You know, I mean, frankly, it's nonviolent direct action.
And it works. Listen, I've got to leave it there tonight, David. We're running on a tight schedule, and I thank you for checking in, pal. I hope you have a good holiday. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday, from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
On IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Jams at the tunnel, shop through hustle and bustle. Snowing lights make Wonderland out this concrete jungle. There's miracles on 34th Street. On a train, get that lady with all them bags you see. Radio City for the Christmas show. We making angels in the snow, giving honey lots of kisses under mistletoe. Snowball fights in courtyards. See Spanish Harlem sing Feliz Navidad. New York State of Mind at Christmas time.
All the children showing their new clothes and toys and things that they got for Christmas this year. They're full of happiness and cheer.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. And happy, what was it, the winter solstice for the pagans among us. It is that season. And a marvelous one it is, although it's raining here in the People's Republic of Vermont, but they tell us that tomorrow it's going to turn to snow. So we get 2.5 feet of snow on the ground with an inch thick layer of ice over the top of it. It's getting strange. Alabama's conservative governor, we were talking about just before the break, Bob Riley, he proposed this tax increase. And the naughty and nice, I mean, he was trying to do the right thing for his state, saying, hey, you know, we have a certain level of state services that we've agreed to. We have made this contract with the people that we will provide these services. And they have, you know, elected us and put us into positions of power to do this. And now we have to pay for them. I mean, it's a simple reality. And people actually do want to have schools that work. And they, you know, anyhow, so Grover Norquist, the Americans for Tax Reform, says, and he and Tom DeLay and Dick Armey, Newt Gingrich, they're inserting themselves into Alabama state politics. And they were successful in getting this tax increase shot down by a 67-33% vote. And people didn't get what's going to happen. Because it's happening now. But Grover Norquist says this is a shot across the bow for next year's decision-making. Every Republican governor who thinks of raising taxes next year will walk past Traitor's Gate and see Bob Riley's head on a pike. Yeah, that's good conservative thinking. Heads on a pike. So our naughty guys are Dick Armey, Newt Gingrich, and Grover Norquist. Our nice guy, Bob Riley, in the area of taxes. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Receiving a Christmas card from George and Laura Bush themselves, postmarked Crawford, Texas, is a bit of a thrill, until that is you discover there are 1.5 million others on the White House list. This year, Mr. Bush sent out a record 1.5 million cards to his closest friends, supporters, foreign dignitaries, and assorted hacks and hangers-on. The Bush card follows recent presidential tradition in portraying a White House scene cleansed of any human presence that might trigger scrutiny for hidden meanings. Last year's picture of a presidential piano was criticized as being cold and unseasonal. This year's card features altogether warmer colors, showing a fireplace flanked by two buttery yellow armchairs in the White House diplomatic reception room. Labor unions in the Czech Republic demanded Monday that stores stop playing Christmas carols incessantly or pay compensation for causing emotional trauma to sales clerks. Some stores here play the same songs all day and play them loudly. Employees say shifts have become unbearable. To listen to it for 8 hours a day is not healthy, that's for sure, said Alexander Lanier, a union leader. And for the customers, it's almost unbearable as well. Lanier says unions have written to major chains such as Tesco and demanded that employees be compensated. Buoyed by the capture of Saddam Hussein, U.S. troops began Christmas celebrations Tuesday, even as Iraqi Christians prepared for a low-key holiday, many congregations delaying midnight services until daybreak amid worries of violence. The holiday brings mixed feelings for Iraq's 700,000 Christians. There are prayers for a better future, but also some fears that if unrest continues, it could revive an exodus of Christians and other Iraqis. More IE America Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
The organizers of a public art scheme in London have run into trouble after vetoing an image because its message of peace on earth was too harsh for a Christmas campaign. Pictures commissioned by pop star Damon Albarn proved too contentious to be projected onto London venues such as the National Theatre. One image by Peter Kennard showed the Virgin Mary with a globe in the place of her face and the CND logo instead of a halo. The other, by graffiti artist Banksy, showed Jesus with his arms outstretched and shopping bags in his hands. The head of PR for the sponsors said it was not a question of censorship, but of finding the right audience for the pictures. She added the images deserve to be seen and that they will be used in a separate campaign, probably to run in magazines. This is Don Waller in New York. On behalf of us all here at IE America Network News, have a safe and happy holiday.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Here's a novel concept. If you work full-time and do a good job, you shouldn't be paid so poorly that you live in poverty. Try to tell that to the federal government, though. An independent study released by Acorn, the grassroots advocate for the working poor, finds that corporations enjoying fat, tax-paid contracts from the feds are paying poverty wages to the people actually doing the contract work. The same federal government that sets precise standards for, say, the tensile strength of screws that it buys, sets no standards for the fair pay of people working under its contracts. The study, conducted by the Economic Policy Institute, revealed that 11% of federal contract employees receive less than a living wage, which is to say, their paychecks are too low to lift them and their families above the poverty level. In this period of economic prosperity and federal surpluses, in this period when Congress annually raises its own pay, in this period when federal contracts routinely cover the million-dollar paychecks of the corporate CEOs getting the contracts, it's absurd that our tax dollars would be used to subsidize sub-poverty pay. Ironically, while the companies profit on the backs of these workers, many of the workers themselves have to turn to food stamps, housing assistance, and other federal poverty programs just to make ends meet. This means that we taxpayers are hit with a double whammy. First, we're subsidizing low-wage companies. Then, we have to provide services to assuage the poverty of their workers. This is Jim Hightower saying, better that the contractors themselves be required to pay fair wages from the start. Which is why the Living Wage Responsibility Act has been introduced in Congress, sponsored by Representative Luis Gutierrez of Illinois. It requires big businesses that get federal contracts to pay their employees a wage no less than the federal poverty level. For more information, contact Acorn, 202-547-2500.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey. This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family, cheers. Have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Naughty and nice. We are looking at, on this holiday season here, checking the list, making a list and checking it twice here. Who's been naughty and nice? And our naughty for the day, or not for the day, for the as we go through the list here, our naughty House Majority Leader Tom DeLay for using poor children as a pretext to get around the law and funnel charitable contributions to wine-and-dine corporate fat cats for partisan political purposes. You remember this thing? Tom DeLay set up this charity, a 501c3 charity, a nonprofit. You give money to it, and it's tax-deductible. And that charity is then sponsoring some of the big hoop-de-doops that are going to happen during the Republican National Committee, or convention, rather, where the lobbyists and the corporate fat cats get to hang out with the politicians that they have bought. And the nice, of course, are kids for being so darn cute, isn't it? Just, you know, kids are wonderful. Naughty and nice, Senators John McCain and Chuck Hagel are on the nice category, and Republicans for telling the truth about Vietnam, about the war in Iraq. I mean, both of them on several different occasions, came out and said, you know, things are not, this is a wrong policy. These guys, George Bush is making a mistake, you know, and things like that. They were willing to criticize George Bush. The naughty Senators Max Baucus and John Breaux, Bill Frist. Here's if you see this photo of George Bush signing the health care bill. Here's George Bush sitting at the desk. And let's just go around the circle here. Here's Billy Towson. The health industry gave him $601,077. The drug industry gave him $211,249. He's got a big smile on his face. Senator John Breaux, the health industry gave him $118,000. The drug industry gave him $59,000. Senator Bill Frist, a guy whose family made millions privatizing hospitals and squeezing dollars out of the poor people who show up desperate for medical services, health industry gave him $500,000, $550,264. The drug industry, $123,957. Now, these are all actual, you know, here's the cash guy numbers. I mean, you throw on top of these the thousands of trips these guys get all over the world and the lavish goodies and the bennies, and it just goes on and on. Senator Orrin Hatch was there. He had a big smile on his face, $743,940 from the health industry, $433,324 from the drug industry. Senator Max Baucus, $646,000 from the health industry, $145,000 from the drug industry. Senator Charles Grassley, $573,000 from the health industry, $217,000 from the drug industry. Denny Hastert, the Speaker of the House, the health industry gave him over $500,000, almost $200,000 from the drug industry. Representative Tom DeLay, over $250,000 from the health industry, and $78,000 from the drug industry. And, of course, George Bush signing the bill. The health industry gave him $7,549,695, and the drug industry gave him nearly $1 million. Now, if you look on our website at TomHartmann.com, you'll find a thing called Tom Hartman's 10 Steps to Restore Democracy to America. This illustrates the absolute crime that is being committed in the United States of the sale of the most valuable and vital of our commons, our government, to for-profit interests, to corporations. And the way that I address this here is the human rights are for humans. Corporations are not persons. We must update the 14th Amendment to insert the word natural before the word person, so corporations can no longer claim the right to lie, the right to hide their crimes, the right to buy politicians and influence elections, and the right to force themselves on communities that don't want them. Corporate charter laws should be amended on a state-by-state basis to reinstate the spirit of the Sherman Antitrust Act by again outlawing the ownership of one corporation by another. I mean, it's really strange. Corporations want to have it both ways. Corporate lawyers say a corporation is a person. It's an artificial person, but it's a person, and therefore should have privacy rights. So, for example, one of the big examples, one of the big chemical companies. There was a whistleblower who notified the EPA that they were polluting. The EPA shows up and says, "Hi, we're here to do a surprise inspection of your chemical factory." And the chemical company says, "No, sorry, you can't do that." And the EPA says, "Well, we were created to do that." And Dow says, the chemical company says, "No, sorry, under the Fourth Amendment," but it was Dow Chemical, "under the Fourth Amendment, we are a person. We have Fourth Amendment rights of privacy." You know, the Fourth Amendment that says that you shall be secure in your persons and papers. Persons shall be secure. Anyway, Dow says, "No, we're a person. You can't do that." And so the EPA hired a small plane and a pilot and a photographer, and they flew over this facility to document what was going on, and they were preparing to prosecute, and Dow said, "Hey, you can't use that evidence because you got it illegally because you violated our privacy rights." And they took this all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, "Well, if back in 1886 this court said that corporations are persons," which, by the way, it turns out the court never said, but the court's reporter wrote down that the court said in the headnote. But when you actually read the decision, the ruling, the court said the opposite. But nonetheless, the court, the modern-day court, looked back at that 1886 case, Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, and said, "Well, if corporations are persons, I guess they have Fourth Amendment privacy rights." And so they threw the case out. Dow won the case. And that's why OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, can no longer do surprise inspections. But if you work for one of these companies, now, you and I, we're the people, right? We're the human beings. We're the ones for whom the Fourth Amendment was written. Remember? If you work for one of these corporations and you go to work, although the corporation is asserting 24/7 that they have the Fourth Amendment right of privacy, the right to keep their secrets. One of the tobacco companies asserted this also back in the 1930s before the Supreme Court. If they are asserting that, and they are, I mean, they're saying, hey, we have the right to privacy. But you go to work, as soon as you step on their property, they say, hey, we own this property, and therefore, if you come onto our property, you are voluntarily surrendering your constitutional right to privacy. And we can monitor your keyboard strokes, we can listen into your telephone conversations, we can even inspect fluids from your body. We can secretly videotape you. We can look into your credit record. There's all kinds of, no, you have no right of privacy when you step onto the property of a corporation. But that corporation is claiming it 24/7. This is just wrong. It's just plain old flat out wrong. And so it's time to change this and to insert corporate code-like language requiring a corporation to place the needs of the community above its desire for profits, which also used to be law up until the 1890s, the charter-mongering era. From 1776 to 1890, more or less, every state had laws that said if a corporation is going to incorporate in our state, its first purpose for incorporation has to be to benefit the citizens of this state. And the way that it is going to benefit the citizens of the state is by doing the business that it's going into. So if you're going to make, stagecoaches, you have to demonstrate that you're making those stagecoaches is of some benefit to the citizens, even if it's just providing them with employment. It wasn't a particularly high bar to leap over. It wasn't a particularly high standard. It wasn't difficult to meet. But at least it was there. Because now there are corporations that clearly not only are not serving the needs of the states in which they're incorporated, but are harming people in the states in which they are incorporated. And because this is no longer part of our laws, the states can no longer do what Ohio did to John Rockefeller back in 1880-something, 1886, 1881, I forget which year it was, and said, hey, you can't do business like this. It's harmful to the people of our state. You're poisoning people. You're engaging in monopolistic practice. You're driving entrepreneurs out of business. It's illegal. We're not going to have it. And that's, of course, when it all started to fall apart, because he then went to New Jersey and said, will you change your laws so that what I'm doing will now become legal in your state? And if you'll do that, I'll bring a lot of money to your state, and some of that money is going to find its way to your politicians. And New Jersey sat up and said, hey, cool. And then New York said, well, we'll change our laws. And then Delaware said, well, we'll change our laws even more. And Delaware ended up winning the battle. Delaware has the laxest or easiest corporate laws of any state in the union, which is why the majority of the Fortune 500 companies are Delaware corporations, even though, they actually don't do much business in Delaware. But I digress. Anyhow, and as Teddy Roosevelt so strongly urged us, to ban corporations from political activity of any sort. I shared this a couple days ago, but it's worth revisiting. This from a 1905 law in the state of Wisconsin, which was an update to a law that went back to the 1700s. Every state in the Union had laws like this on the books. This one didn't get struck down until the 1940s or the 1950s, either 1945 or 1954. My memory fails me on that, but one or the other. Sometimes I get numbers, backwards like that. And it really, they pretty much stopped enforcing it in the early 40s. But now all the states have removed these laws. This is a law that used to be the law in every state. Political contributions by corporations. And in fact, Teddy Roosevelt, in 1907, he passed a law to this effect at the federal level. No corporation doing business in this state shall pay or contribute or offer, consent, or agree to pay or contribute directly or indirectly any money, property, free service of its officers or employees or thing of value to any political party, organization, committee, or individual for any political purpose whatsoever, or for the purpose of influencing legislation of any kind, or to promote or defeat the candidacy of any person for nomination, appointment, or election to any political office. Is that fairly clear? Penalty Any officer, employee, agent, attorney, or other representative of any corporation acting for and in behalf of such corporation who shall violate this act shall be punished by imprisonment in the state prison for a period of not less than 1 nor more than 5 years, or by both such fine and imprisonment, the discretion of the court or judge before whom such conviction is had. And if the corporation is found guilty, it shall be subject to a penalty, then by forfeiture in double the amount of the fine, and if a domestic corporation, it may be dissolved. It was the death penalty for corporations. Dissolved. And if a foreign or non-resident corporation, its right to do business in this state will be declared forfeit. People were still making money. People were still running businesses. I mean, this was the law of the land for a long time in the United States. And we were the envy of the world. We led the Industrial Revolution. We were doing just fine. But as J.R. pointed out, the corporations didn't quite like the balance of power. They wanted to rise up and take not just us and our lives, but our government as well. The largest of the corporations. Yeah, there's a lot of small and medium-sized corporations out there doing a lot of good stuff. But we have now this corporate tyranny, and it's got to stop. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the legal huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the legal huddle Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network. Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the legal huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Was in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue, when the road was full of mud. I come in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. If I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her, on that I give my word. In a world of steel and death and men who are fighting to be warm, come in, she said, I'll give you a shelter from the storm.
This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back. We're doing naughty and nice here on Christmas Eve. And a couple of days before Kwanzaa, in the middle of Hanukkah, we are just right up to our eyeballs in holidays. Just a few days after the winter solstice, the day when we lived in Germany, I heard this story from the locals that thousands of years ago, on the shortest day of the year, when everybody was really getting worried that the sun was never going to come back, that it was just about to blink out, the high priest would go up to the tallest mountain, find the biggest tree, light that big pine tree, light that thing on fire, and say an incantation to reignite the sun, and then the next day, the day would be a little longer. And the next day after that, the day would be a little longer, and the sun would be a little higher in the sky, and the people would all look at the priest and go, he did it again. And thus we have Christmas trees. So whether you're celebrating that pagan holiday, or whether you're celebrating Christmas or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or nothing at all, just celebrating life, just the existence, the wonder of existence, it's an extraordinary thing. And but anyhow, in the spirit of Christmas, we're doing naughty and nice today. And if you'd like to call, if you have a naughty or nice that you'd like to share, or you want to get into any other topic at all, then just make it available. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And our naughty, well, our nice, first of all, Rush Limbaugh, for admitting that he has a drug problem and seeking help. I mean, that was a pretty reasonable thing to do. Some would put a cynical spin on it. I'm among them. But nonetheless, one would hope that he could be a positive example, right? Okay, our naughty is also Rush Limbaugh. Why? For saying things like, back in 1995 when Jerry Garcia died, saying he's just another dead drug addict. And on October 5th, 1995, saying, so if people are violating a law by doing drugs, they ought to be accused and they ought to be convicted and they ought to be set up. Too many whites are getting away with drug use. Too many whites are getting away with drug sales. Too many whites are getting away with trafficking and this stuff. The answer to this disparity is not to start letting people out of jail, because we're not going to put others in jail who are breaking the law. The answer is to go out and find the ones who are getting away with it, convict them, and send them up the river too. And further, I don't buy into the disease part of it. We're rationalizing all this irresponsibility and all the choices people are making, and we're blaming not them but society for it. And now it seems that Rush may have a new song to sing.
Excellent Incarcerated Broadcasting brings you live from Cell Block 9, the biggest mouth in the big house.
Rush Limbaugh!
Yes, I'm in the slammer, thanks very much, but I can still yammer. I haven't lost my touch. It's Friday, time for open line. Be a couple hundred more till I've done my time. Get down.
I'll just keep talking truth and motherhood to Main Street and now the Aryan Brotherhood. And every time I mention that drugs ain't worth it, they credit me 6 months community service. Ha! Liberals! Don't you just love them? Yeah, I got my crew, in case you imagine you can mess with me in any fashion. You really think you're going to get a piece? I suggest you have a word with my man Maurice. Come over here, big fella.
Yeah, the big man's putting us on the map, so for all we care, he can yap, yap, yap. 14 hours a day, shout, just shut your pie hole when the lights go out.
Here's my firm and unyielding belief. Now, just to make sure you don't miss my point, I'm not closing down just because I'm in the joint. But I ain't no little Jesus. I'm rushed, so there's no way I'm eating this mealy mush. No, those who do the work of educating and informing need a little extra fuel to start the morning. So if you don't like my grabbing an extra meal, have a talk over here with my man Shaquille.
Yes, Rush Limbaugh, our nice and naughty guy of the year. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, this is Bill Vellner, Chief Engineer for the IE America Radio Network, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Warmer world might dump more snow on some places that already get plenty of it. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Every winter, parts of Michigan and New York are blanketed in precipitation called lake effect snow. It comes after cold winter air blows over the warm waters of the Great Lakes. The air picks up a lot of moisture, and when that moisture moves over land, it falls out as snow. Adam Burnett says lake effect snow might pile up as the world gets warmer. Burnett is a geographer who studies climatology at Colgate University in Hamilton, New York. Burnett and other researchers examined weather records across the Great Lakes region during the 20th century. They say slight increases in summertime temperatures might be warming the Great Lakes. In the winter, those warmer waters might lead to more lake effect snow in Michigan and New York. Burnett says Syracuse, New York is a good example. Its annual snowfall in the 1930s was about 8.5 feet. In the 1990s, it was up to about 11.5 feet. Burnett says changes like this have pluses and minuses for communities around the Great Lakes.
Lake effect snowfall in many areas in the Great Lakes, it's a significant element in regional water budgets, municipal water supply, recreation, snow removal. It's a big thing.
Burnett says this kind of climate research attracts attention for some very practical reasons.
There are some aspects of science and the environment that you can pretty much go through life ignoring, but when you have to shovel the driveway and when you have to drive to work and when you have to scrape the snow off the hood of the car, it pretty much is staring you right in the face at that point. So people are usually interested.
Burnett says this is just one example of how global warming can have a local impact. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciacci, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damscher.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Zanny.
Thank you.
good to see Santa. Santa, I can assure you it's a lot easier on a flying sled than it is on Air Force One.
Six before the hour. In just a minute, we'll have a trivia question for you. First correct answer wins an autographed copy of Hillary Clinton's Living History, courtesy of our Baltimore, Maryland bureau chief, Billy Shears. And plus, we're going to have Bush's Chanukah, that's how he pronounces it, Hanukkah, Chanukah message, a reading from Luke, which I do every year that I've been on the air, a special announcement that we've been promising you, and couple more song parodies that are just bizarre. You got to stick around. Right now we're talking with King David, our Woodstock Nation bureau chief. By the way, David,
yeah,
during the break, Richard did some quick research. The Clarence Thomas that was in that movie, he was making movies in 1997. He was in Rosewood. In 1993, he was in Scam. He does movies in Italy. So it's wrong, Clarence Thomas.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
Well, I've got this, yep. the fastest, sharpest audience in talk radio, and
yes, you do,
man. As a matter of fact, you're one of those people. I mean,
in this instance.
Well, we all check on each other. We can put something out there, and somebody will verify it or knock it to pieces within 5 or 10 minutes, and it's great. I love that kind of rapid response. Now,
right.
Back to...
By the way, Santa better hope that Bush doesn't ask what's in that pipe that he smokes.
That's very true. That's very true. Because we all know what Santa smokes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My
Especially
God.
In a pipe like that.
Ho, 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 my ass. We know what's in that pipe.
That ain't
right?
No Dr. Green.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Oh, ho, ho, hey, Kenny's here. Try a little bit of this. Oh, God. Merry Christmas. Now, where were we?
In any event, what I was going to say about Lenny Bruce.
Right.
If somebody has yet to hear a full-fledged performance of Lenny's, the album to get a hold of is called Carnegie Hall.
Carnegie Hall.
It's of a full-length concert, a couple of hours, recorded at Carnegie Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, there's a very special bit about the show. It was recorded at midnight on the 5th of February 1961,
mm-hmm.
the weekend of the big blizzard of 61.
Ah.
The snow drifts on the Brill Building on Broadway were 4 and 5 stories high.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much snow that the audience had to go through in order to get to Carnegie Hall for that night.
Right.
And Lenny does a bit about having to go through that himself. But one of the first things that he says about that particular show, he says, pointing to the outside,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
That this is a midnight show. He says the words, "What if the people who own this place don't even know we're here?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a good corrupt janitor coming in and
right.
Don't make a mess and lock up after you go. One of those kind of things.
Right.
Now the thing is that if there's two people that I know who can relate to the phrase, what if the people who own this place don't even know we're here? It's got to be you and Kathy.
I know. That's very true. Oh, my God, that's so true. That is so true.
Okay, survive the week.
All right, thanks, David.
All right,
sir, and happy holiday to you. That's true about us, isn't it, Kathy? This program is so subversive, For the 40 people who tune in, it's just... All right, let's do this. We want to give away this book. It's autographed by Hillary Clinton. Even has a sticker on the front that says autographed copy. Billy Shears, our Baltimore, Maryland bureau chief, got this for us and fired it off to the home office here. He trudged through a massive snowstorm, icicles dripping off his long gray beard. to get this to us because he likes our program and because he's a bureau chief. This is what bureau chiefs are supposed to do, and among other things. So we are going to give this copy, autographed by Hillary Rodham Clinton, away now. And matter of fact, we will pay the postage. Right, Kathy? Can we afford it? We're going to soon be unemployed. We can afford it. Okay. We will send it. We will pay the postage. Billy Shears went and bought it. Who issued the following two statements? Who said this? Two statements. Here we go. The difference between Los Angeles and yogurt is that yogurt comes with less fruit. Secondly, feminism was established to allow unattractive women easier access to the mainstream. Was it A, Rush Limbaugh, B, Michael Savage, C, Karl Rove? One more time. Who said the following two statements? The difference between Los Angeles and yogurt is that yogurt comes with less fruit. And feminism was established to allow unattractive women easier access to the mainstream. Was it A, Rush Limbaugh, B, Michael Savage, C, Karl Rove? We will now wait for your answer. Now, while we are waiting for Kathy to come up with a winner, a couple more here from Norman Solomon of the PU Litzer Prizes for 2003. We've already given you one, two, three, four. There's only eight. Here's the fifth one. The Conservative Times for the Liberal Media Award goes to ABC News. Over the years, ABC correspondent John Stossel became known for one-sided, often inaccurate reporting on behalf of his pro-corporate, greed-is-good ideology. He boasted that his on-air job was to explain the beauties of the free market. He received lecture fees from corporate pressure groups and even spoke on Capitol Hill against consumer protection regulation. In May of this year, when Stossel was promoted to co-anchor of ABC's 2020, a network insider told TV Guide, "These are conservative times. The network wants somebody to match the times." The Coddling Donald Prize, as in Rumsfeld, goes to CBS's Leslie Stahl and ABC's Peter Jennings, and actually a couple others. But on the day news broke about Saddam Hussein's capture, Leslie Stahl and Peter Jennings each interviewed on their respective networks Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. In step with their mainstream media colleagues, both failed to ask about Rumsfeld's cordial 1983 meeting with Hussein in Baghdad on behalf of the Reagan administration that opened up strong diplomatic and military ties between the U.S. government and the dictator, and that lasted through 7 years of his worst brutality. The Military Groupie Prize goes to Katie Couric of NBC's Today Show. On April 3rd, in the midst of the invasion carnage, Katie Couric said, "Well, Commander Thompson, thanks for talking with us at this very early hour out there, and I just want you to know, I think Navy SEALs rock." God. And the Noblesse Oblige Award, Occupation Award, goes to Thomas Friedman, the New York Times. In a November 30th piece, Times columnist Friedman gushed that, quote, "This war in Iraq is the most important liberal revolutionary U.S. democracy-building project since the Marshall Plan." He lauded the war as one of the noblest things this country has ever attempted abroad. Friedman did not mention the estimated 112 billion barrels of oil in Iraq, or the continuous deceptions that led to the noble enterprise. Norman Solomon's P. Ulitzer Prizes for 2003. Catherine, do we have a winner? We have five winners? Oh, line five. You held up five fingers. Robert is calling from New Orleans. Matter of fact, our bureau chief down there. Robert, you have the correct answer?
Rush Limbaugh.
Well, you got it. And you got the book, pal.
That's great. I actually wanted to get that book.
And well, you got it. It'll save you. Let me see. Retail, I don't know what it costs on...
Probably somewhere around $30.
Retail, it was $28, and it is autographed, and it's got a sticker on the front that says autographed copy, but when you get inside on the second fly page, there it is. Hillary Rodham Clinton, and this is courtesy of one of our other bureau chiefs, Robert Billy Shears, who's our Baltimore, Maryland bureau chief. We shall get this out to you, sir, in the mail, and congratulations.
Well, thanks a lot. Is Billy is his name?
Billy Shears, yeah.
Well, thanks to Billy Shears, and thanks to y'all for giving me a question that I knew the answer to.
Right. Well, you got it.
Actually, you made me nervous when you gave the multiple choice. When you first asked the question, I knew the answer, but then when you gave me the multiple choice, I was saying, actually, it could have been any one of those idiots.
Right. It could have been. Now, that's not why you really called in, though.
No, that's not the real reason why I called in. The real reason why I called in is something, however, that might remind you of Hillary Clinton because of the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that Rush Limbaugh ought to come forward and tell the truth.
Yeah.
Because that's what you heard over and over again during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, except for it was Bill Clinton was supposed to come forward and tell the truth. Well, now Rush Limbaugh ought to come forward and tell the truth. Not that he ever has, and not that he ever will.
Right.
But I think we all ought to start urging that he comes forward and tell the truth.
Well, you know something else I think ought to happen now that Limbaugh has I was going to use a colloquial phrase, I better not. Now that he has himself in a jam, very serious jam, since Rush Limbaugh and all these right-wingers, Mike Savage, all these people, they have always wanted to see Bill Clinton's privates. It's something that has motivated them. It's something that every Republican, every neoconservative has wanted to see because, Bill Clinton has his reputation of being this astonishing player, and they've all wanted to see his private. So I think that Limbaugh ought to produce his and Bill Clinton produce his, and let's just get the facts out there, so to speak.
Which of the two has the bigger cojones here, you know?
Well, that's true. I just think both should drop trial and just everybody check it out, and we'll see what's going on here, and that'll be settled for once and for all, and then the Republicans can get back to what they normally do the best, and that is destroy the country.
Yeah, Mike, whatever happened to the party of personal responsibility? Don't they go around preaching this stuff? I mean, Bill Janklow crying because he got convicted of murdering somebody.
Well, yeah, and he's asking the court to acquit him and vacate the jury's verdict. I mean, it's insane. Rush Limbaugh is blaming Democrats.
Weren't they the ones outraged because the court did that in Massachusetts for Louise Woodward?
Well, of course. But, you see, Republicans have never been the party of taking responsibility. That has been their rap and their rhetoric. But Republicans are sneaks, liars, thieves, weasels, and they support mass murders, not to mention the fact that they all dress like hell. None of them dress properly.
Hypocrite.
Yeah, that's it.
And the thing that gets me is that you got Bill Janklow murdering somebody. You got Rush Limbaugh, you know, his drug-addled brain. You've got George Bush running drunk driving, and you've got, you know, because you mentioned mad cow disease at the beginning of the program, and the first thing I thought of, well, oh my God, did they let Laura Bush back out on the highway? Because the big heifer she is, that would be a mad cow if she got behind the wheel. Didn't she kill somebody with a car?
Yes, she did.
Yeah, I mean, they're lunatics over there.
Yes, they are.
They're crazy. You know what? I haven't heard you say today. And I'm going to say it for you. I hate these people.
Well, in keeping in the spirit of Christmas, I was trying to avoid it, but I appreciate the fact that you did it for me.
I'm sorry. Christmas schmishmas. When I think of Republicans, I can't help but get enraged.
I hear that. Hey, listen, did you give Kathy your mailing address?
Yes, I did.
All right, good. We will send you the book, and we'll try to make sure that the Department of Homeland Security does not get your address, because they'd probably like to talk to you, Robert.
I will be patriot-acted if they do.
You will indeed. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right, Merry Christmas to you, Robert.
All right, Merry Christmas to you.
All right. And thanks to Billy Shears for sending that to us. Reverend Debut of the Universal Life Church, said, "Hey, Mike, I was looking over some documents relating to the Homeland Security Awareness System, the color-coded alert thing, and found an official document suggesting some suspicious activities which should be reported to the government. You ready for this, truth seeker? Multiple sightings of the same suspicious person, vehicle, or activity separated by time, distance, or direction." Individuals who stay at bus stops for extended periods while buses come and go. Individuals who carry on long conversations on pay or cellular telephones. Individuals who order food at a restaurant and leave before the food arrives, or who order without eating. Individuals sitting in a parked car for an extended period of time. Hell, in my neighborhood as a kid growing up, that's what everybody sat out in their car. Everybody went out in the car, sat out there and drank beer, smoked cigarettes. Oh, my God. Joggers who stand or stretch for an inordinate amount of time. Individuals who don't fit into the surrounding environment because they are wearing inappropriate attire for the location or season. Individuals drawing pictures or taking notes in an area not normally of interest to a tourist, or showing unusual interest in or photographing security cameras, guard locations, or watching security drills and procedures. And individuals who exhibit suspicious behavior such as staring or quickly looking away from individuals or vehicles as they enter or leave facilities or parking areas. Oh, my God.
Police, stop my car. The police made me stop. Walk the straight line and blow a balloon up. Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police made me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up. Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police, they may stop. Walk the straight line and blow a balloon up. They wanna wish me a sober Christmas. That's why they always call me over Christmas.
Heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel relief fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel. all around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of Ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was it, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, Drew Zegers.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network. America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman, sheepwalker in our chat room, asked the question, where is that photograph of the signing of the Medicare bill with George Bush and all those guys standing around it and all the little boxes showing the amounts that each one of them was paid off by the healthcare industry or the pharmaceutical industry? And it's at the American Progress website, AmericanProgress.org. And One of the really important things to remember here is that we are not without power. This is such an important, you know, learned helplessness is such a terrible and tragic thing. It's time for us to seize our power. We have not been using our power, but we are not without power. America has gone through a whole series of revolutions, as it were. The suffrage movement, the abolition movement, the civil rights movement, the movement to end the war in Vietnam. Of course, you go back to the Civil War and the American Revolution. There's been a whole progressive populist movement rolling back the abuses, or many of the abuses of the Gilded Age. They grab a little, you know, the cons come in and they grab what they can, and then the people rise up and say, hey, wait a minute, we've had enough. And they push back. Look at FDR and the New Deal. And I am convinced that we are standing at the threshold of another extraordinary and positive transition. There are so many people who are so outraged, so horrified by the policies that this administration has been following, and who get it, that America really, you know, there is an ideal here. There is a positive vision here that we have held for hundreds of years. No, we haven't been perfect all the time, certainly not.
We've, you know, if you want a list of the crimes of America, we can come up with a long one. But if you want a list of the good things that America's done, you can come up with a long one also. And we can't forget that in 1989, when 15,000 Chinese people marched in Tiananmen Square, many of them to their death, many of them to their imprisonment, they were carrying a 36-foot-tall papier-mâché replica of the Statue of Liberty that they called the Goddess of Democracy, and they were quoting Thomas Jefferson. We are the archetype for the world. And by getting politically active, by getting involved, by getting out there now, you and me, getting involved, we can take this country back. We really can. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Truth and common sense in broadcasting.
It's coming from a field that ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
Might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Buoyed by the capture of Saddam Hussein, U.S. troops began Christmas celebrations Tuesday, even as Iraqi Christians prepared for a low-key holiday. Many congregations delaying midnight services until daybreak amid worries of violence. The holiday brings mixed feelings for Iraq's 700,000 Christians. There are prayers for a better future, but also some fears that if unrest continues, it could revive an exodus of Christians and other Iraqis. Receiving a Christmas card from George and Laura Bush themselves, postmarked Crawford, Texas, is a bit of a thrill, until that is you discover there are 1.5 million others on the White House list. This year, Mr. Bush sent out a record 1.5 million cards to his closest friends, supporters, foreign dignitaries, and assorted hacks and hangers-on. The Bush card follows recent presidential tradition in portraying a White House scene cleansed of any human presence that might trigger scrutiny for hidden meanings. Last year's picture of a presidential piano was criticized as being cold and unseasonal. This year's card features altogether warmer colors, showing a fireplace flanked by two buttery yellow armchairs in the White House diplomatic reception room. Holiday gift-giving isn't just for people anymore, not when they can choose from the latest bling-bling for their pets, too. The Wall Street Journal reports Ralph Lauren is pitching Fair Isle sweaters and polo shirts for dogs. Others can buy sterling silver pet tags from Tiffany. Kosher Pets of Fort Lauderdale, Florida offers Hanukkah collars, stuffed dreidels, and even kosher dog biscuits. Some pet owners try to get their animals into the spirit of the season, but it doesn't always work. Ken Boschert of Washington University in Seattle says his dachshunds hate it when his wife puts the antlers on them. More IE American Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
It doesn't matter if you're naughty or nice. If you're a prisoner in Arkansas, you will receive a gift this Christmas. Prison officials will give each of the 13,500 inmates in the state 2 apples, 2 oranges, as well as $5 on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day in a bid to make life a bit brighter for those behind bars over the holidays. The $70,000 cost of the program is paid for by prison vending machine profits and from rebates the system receives on long-distance calls placed by inmates. The fresh fruit is donated from various U.S. orchards. For security reasons, the prison system forbids inmates' friends and relatives from sending gifts to prisoners at any time of year, except for gift packages purchased through prison commissaries. This is Don Waller in New York. On behalf of us all here at IE America Network News, have a safe and happy holiday.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Here's a novel concept. If you work full-time and do a good job, you shouldn't be paid so poorly that you live in poverty. Try to tell that to the federal government, though. An independent study released by Acorn, the grassroots advocate for the working poor, finds that corporations enjoying fat, tax-paid contracts from the feds are paying poverty wages to the people actually doing the contract work. The same federal government that sets precise standards for, say, the tensile strength of screws that it buys, sets no standards for the fair pay of people working under its contracts. The study, conducted by the Economic Policy Institute, revealed that 11% of federal contract employees receive less than a living wage, which is to say, their paychecks are too low to lift them and their families above the poverty level. In this period of economic prosperity and federal surpluses, in this period when Congress annually raises its own pay, in this period when federal contracts routinely cover the million-dollar paychecks of the corporate CEOs getting the contracts, it's absurd that our tax dollars would be used to subsidize sub-poverty pay. Ironically, while the companies profit on the backs of these workers, many of the workers themselves have to turn to food stamps, housing assistance, and other federal poverty programs just to make ends meet. This means that we taxpayers are hit with a double whammy. First, we're subsidizing low-wage companies. Then, we have to provide services to assuage the poverty of their workers. This is Jim Hightower saying, better that the contractors themselves be required to pay fair wages from the start. Which is why the Living Wage Responsibility Act has been introduced in Congress, sponsored by Representative Luis Gutierrez of Illinois. It requires big businesses that get federal contracts to pay their employees a wage no less than the federal poverty level. For more information, contact ACORN, 202-547-2500.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, friends. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and we're checking out, we're checking our list, and, you know, all the day before Christmas, you know, after a while, it, that music kind of gets to you, I suppose. It is, so we'll turn it down anyhow. Naughty and Nice, number 9 in our list of 10 ways to take back America, to revive American democracy, is the point that America is not a kingdom and we don't elect kings. To turn back the imperial presidency and return the executive branch to its position co-equal with the other two branches of government, we recommend disbanding the Office of Homeland Security and requiring the president to meet weekly in open and public discussion with all members of Congress, as is done in the United Kingdom. If you've ever seen Prime Minister's Questions on C-SPAN, where Tony Blair has to deal with members of Congress, or of the Parliament in that case, and most other modern democracies are like this. Now, in that context, our naughty and nice, the nice of the CIA, actually, for writing the national intelligence estimates that National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice did not bother to read before putting inaccurate claims into the president's major national security speeches. The CIA was saying, hey, Iraq does not represent a threat to the United States. Iraq does not have uranium from Niger. Iraq does not, in all probability, have weapons of mass destruction. And Condi Rice, well, oops, I didn't read it. And naughty, Condoleezza Rice, for saying the government didn't have a warning about 9/11 on the same day. Now, this was the ultimate irony. The same day that Condoleezza Rice was on TV saying, oh, who could have imagined that somebody would hijack an airplane and run it into a building? On that same day, the White House is admitting that on August 6th of 2001, several months before 9/11, well, a month before 9/11, that the president got a national security advisory that Osama bin Laden was planning to hijack airplanes and fly them into buildings in New York and Washington. And what did he do with that national security finding? Well, two things. Number one, he told John Ashcroft, who immediately stopped flying on commercial aircraft, started flying only on private chartered jets. And number two, he took the longest vacation in presidential history, and when his vacation was over and they still hadn't hit the World Trade Center, he still didn't come back to Washington, D.C. He decided to go to Florida. And now, you know, the 9/11 Commission says, you know, we'd like to see that national security briefing that you received to see exactly what it says, since the White House has already admitted that it was there. And that it said Saddam is coming, and he's coming with airplanes, and he's coming against Washington and New York. Since you got that on August 6th, we would like to see that. And the White House says, nope, you're going to have to sue us. You're going to have to say, we're going to stonewall this one at least through the 2004 election cycle. Come back and talk to us after November of 2004. America is not a kingdom, and we do not elect kings. This is wrong. This plain old flat-out wrong, and we need to be speaking up about it. A few other naughty and nices here. Walter Cronkite. Walter Cronkite, marvelous. You know, a nice, definitely. Walter Cronkite, here's Walter Cronkite talking about FDR and, you know, remembering FDR, asking Congress for the authority to declare war. Keep in mind that the, quote, war in Iraq, end quote, Bush's war in Iraq was never declared. Congress did not declare war on Iraq. We haven't declared a war since World War II, which is an absolute abdication of congressional responsibility. And here's Walter Cronkite about World War II, when we did declare a war. Whoop. Hang on just a minute. There we go. Now it should start.
It was about 12:40 p.m. when President Roosevelt finished speaking, then quickly left the rostrum on the arm of his son. Already the phrase, Day of Infamy, was acquiring a life of its own in the UP and AP wire copy. But before the war could start, one final ritual of a congressional ceremony remained, a formal declaration. Through a remarkable combination of accident and audacity, it would be a ritual the entire country would be able to eavesdrop on.
Remarkable, eh? Walter Cronkite. One of my role models, I would say, when I was young. I spent 7 years doing radio news, and an amazing man. And now he has come back with a new column. He's writing a column, a regular newspaper column, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. So Walter Cronkite, he's the one who's nice. And our naughty, that goes up on the other side of that, Ann Coulter, for continuing to pump out, well, here's her description of her new book and what it's all about.
It's about the 50-year history of treachery of the Democratic Party.
Treachery!
Of the Democratic Party becoming a refuge for traitors, for Soviet
traitors
in the 50s, and on to defeats in Vietnam, losing confidence
to communism, being losing
completely wrong through 8 years.
Wrong!
Of life, and now back to their old tricks again in the war
old
on terror.
Tricks! Yes! Oh, what is it? It's just a great quote here from this sadly vitriolic person. Liberals hate America. They hate flag wavers. They hate abortion opponents. They hate all religions except Islam post 9/11. Even Islamic terrorists don't hate America like liberals do. I would suggest Ann Coulter is suffering from what is called projection in the world of psychology, which is where one assumes that others have the emotions and worldview that one is stuck with. Speaking of which, let me just share with you a little bit of a reading. This is from Joe McPherson's website, zenpickle.com. Joe has worked with us on this program for quite some time. Good guy. Speaking of Ann Coulter, I'm going to read you this and then tell you what it is and what Joe did with it, because it's brilliant. The liberals were too clever to allow a simultaneous attack to be made on the whole of their press. No one section functioned as cover for the other, while the alternative newspaper, in a most despicable manner possible, reviled everything that was sacred, furiously attacking the state and government and incited certain classes of the community against each other. The national papers, also in liberal hands, knew how to camouflage themselves as model examples of objectivity. They studiously avoided harsh language, knowing well that blockheads are capable of judging only by external appearances and never able to penetrate to the real depth and meaning of anything. They measure the worth of an object by its exterior and not by its content. This form of human frailty was carefully studied and understood by the liberal press. Let me continue. See if you know who wrote this. And it's not that. I mean, you read Ann Coulter's book, and it's by means of the liberal press, the liberals spread the colossal falsehood about American militarism throughout the world and tried to inculpate America by every possible means, while at the same time the Democratic Party refused to assent to the measures that were necessary for the adequate training of our national defense forces. The appalling crime thus committed by these people ought to have been obvious to everybody who foresaw that in case of war, the whole nation would have to be called to arms, and that because of the mean huckstering of these noble representatives of the people, as they called themselves, millions of Americans would have to face enemies ill-equipped and insufficiently trained. The author of this piece goes on to say, "What soon gave me cause for very serious consideration were the activities of the liberals in certain branches of life, into the mystery of which I penetrated little by little. Was there any shady undertaking, any form of foulness, especially in cultural life, in which at least one liberal did not participate? On putting the probing knife carefully to that kind of abscess, one immediately discovered, like a maggot in a putrescent body, a little liberal who was often blinded by the sudden light. In my eyes, the charge against liberalism became a grave one the moment I discovered the liberal activities in the press, in the arts, in literature, and the theater. All unctuous protests were now more or less futile. One needed only to look at the posters announcing the hideous productions of the cinema and theater and study the names of the authors who were highly lauded there in order to become permanently adamant on liberal questions. Here was a pestilence, a moral pestilence, with which the public was being infected." In chapter 6 of this book, "This kind of propaganda influenced men in such a way as to give them a taste for reading the liberal press and prepare their minds for its teachings. That press, in its turn, was a vehicle of the spoken word rather than the written word. Whereas in the liberal elite camp, professors and learned writers, theorists and authors of all kinds made attempts at talking. In the liberal media camp, real speakers often made attempts at writing. And it was precisely the liberal who was most prominent there in general, and because of his shrewd dialectical skill and his knack of twisting the truth to suit his own purposes. In chapter 15, titled A Right to Self-Defense, the events which happened subsequent to 9/11 in America prove how the hope of securing the clemency of the terrorists by making a voluntary submission had the most disastrous influence on the political views and conduct of the broad masses. Seeing that the direction of our historical destiny after the war was now openly controlled by the liberals, it is impossible to admit that a defective knowledge of the state of affairs was the sole cause of our misfortunes. On the contrary, that conclusion must be drawn from the facts that our people were intentionally driven to ruin. If we examine it from this point of view, we shall find that the direction of the nation's foreign policy was not so foolish as it appeared. For one scrutinized the matter closely, we see clearly that this contact was a procedure which had been calmly calculated, shrewdly defined, and logically carried out in service of the liberal idea and the liberal endeavor to secure the mastery of the world. Mike in Washington, D.C., who do you think wrote that?
Couldn't be Ms. Coulter, could it?
No, it isn't. It was Adolf Hitler.
Ah, well.
That was Mein Kampf, with the word Jew replaced by the word liberal, and the word Germany replaced by America, and the burning of the Reichstag building replaced with 9/11.
Somehow it makes sense.
Yeah, but it sure does sound like Ann Coulter. I mean, it just reads just like treason. It's quite remarkable. Anyhow, Mike, we got 20 seconds here. What's up? Or I can hold you over the break if you want.
If you could, but if I could throw in something to begin with.
Sure.
The problem with Ms. Coulter is it's like the old saying, you know, if you take 10 pounds of dung and wrap it in wrapping paper, it looks nice, but it's still 10 pounds of dung.
Yeah, well, you are very good at the blunt statement, Mike. Hang on, and we'll pick you up on the other side of the break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress for pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Tom Hartman Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the horror. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Dreidels to play with, latkes to eat. And while we are playing, the candles are burning low.
And welcome back. Happy Hanukkah. We're in the midst of it. Happy Kwanzaa. It's going to begin in a few days. Happy Merry Christmas tomorrow, tonight. And happy winter solstice earlier in the week. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And we were talking with Mike in Washington, D.C. Hey, Mike, you're back on the air.
Ah, how you doing?
Good.
But, you know, as I was saying about Ms. Coulter, it's a pity that such a glamorized exterior conceals such a horrid and just corrosive interior. It's really
I've seen her on TV a couple of times, and I feel sorry for her. She must be one of those persons who just lives in a lot of pain, you know, because she just is spilling it out all the time on other people. It's
you know,
if we're going to bring about change, Mike, in the world, and I really, you know, I believe in the old notion of tikkun, you know, the idea that we are each born into this world with an obligation to do what we can to heal the world.
Right.
And if we're going to do that, I don't think that we accomplish as much by villainizing people as we do by acknowledging their humanity and moving on beyond their crimes and getting to what our agenda is. You know, rather than, you know, in other words, rather than us sitting here spending 10 minutes talking about, you know, what a nasty person Ann Coulter is, you know, let's identify the toxicity there, certainly. And there is a clear toxicity, and it's unfortunate. But then let's identify the positive vision that we want to hold.
True. The thing
is,
we should be focusing on trying to heal our very desperately injured society, in my opinion, rather than hurling epithets at one another.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely agree.
There comes a time to start bailing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's time to try and get the ship floating. It's going down. It is necessary to, you know,
So what are you doing to do that? What are you doing, pardon my putting you on the spot here, but or what do you see people doing around you to bring about that kind of change?
Well, people are organizing. People are talking to each other, which is a novelty.
Yeah, it actually is. I mean, this George Bush has been a real blessing in some ways to American democracy in that he has brought people together in a way. I mean, Bill Clinton led two of the major assaults on American democracy, two, in my opinion, crimes against democracy, signing WTO and GATT, and GATT and NAFTA, and signing the Telecommunications Act of 1996. And nobody talked about that, you know, because he was this nice guy and he was very charming and he got in trouble for, you know, Monica and all this stuff. And everybody felt sympathy. But, you know, George Bush has just ripped the mask off the conservative agenda, which
Correct.
Clinton was dancing to in part, and shown it for what it is.
And
I think we owe him some thanks for
unfortunately,
that.
Unfortunately, you know, people forget we need to get back essentially, you know, my idea of the idealized America are the old values that were epitomized in old New England with the town meeting, with people actually participating in their government.
Yeah, yeah. And what's amazing to me is, you know, we have Bernie Sanders on here every Friday afternoon, more or less, and he says, you know, members of Congress actually respond. It's just amazing to him how rarely people ever contact him. And or, you know, call him or say or organize a meeting and invite him to come. By the way, the phone number for the United States Capitol, area code 202-224-3121. And there's, you know, you can get voicemail, if nothing else, and leave messages. It's important for us to get active. It's important for us to contact our elected representatives. It's important for us to participate in political activity and political campaigns. Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Always nice to hear from you. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Exposing the con in conservatives. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A warmer world might dump more snow on some places that already get plenty of it. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Every winter, parts of Michigan and New York are blanketed in precipitation called lake effect snow. It comes after cold winter air blows over the warm waters of the Great Lakes. The air picks up a lot of moisture, and when that moisture moves over land, it falls out as snow. Adam Burnett says lake effect snow might pile up as the world gets warmer. Burnett is a geographer who studies climatology at Colgate University in Hamilton, New York. Burnett and other researchers examined weather records across the Great Lakes region during the 20th century. They say slight increases in summertime temperatures might be warming the Great Lakes. In the winter, those warmer waters might lead to more lake effect snow in Michigan and New York. Burnett says Syracuse, New York is a good example. Its annual snowfall in the 1930s was about 8.5 feet. In the 1990s, it was up to about 11.5 feet. Burnett says changes like this have pluses and minuses for communities around the Great Lakes.
Lake effect snowfall in many areas in the Great Lakes, it's a significant element in regional water budgets and municipal water supply, recreation, snow removal. It's a big thing.
Burnett says this kind of climate research attracts attention for some very practical reasons.
There are some aspects of science and the environment that you can pretty much go through life ignoring, but when you have to shovel the driveway and when you have to drive to work and when you have to scrape the snow off the hood of the car, it pretty much is staring you right in the face at that point. So people are usually interested.
Burnett says this is just one example of how global warming can have a local impact. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane.
Is that Gene Autry?
He doesn't
Is
care
it?
If you're rich or poor, he loves you just the same.
Yeah.
Santa Claus knows we're all God's children.
All right, that's scary. That goes back to my childhood in the late 40s. That's scary. He always scared the hell out of me anyway, Gene Autry, with that weird-looking hat. You know, what was under that hat? Ah. All right. As is tradition here in the Malloy family, since I started in radio way back 18 years ago when my son Chris was 6 years old, we did a Christmas Eve show. I don't know why. It was the first radio station I worked at, and I wasn't being paid. I just did it for free. And I was a single parent at the time and couldn't get a babysitter that night because it was Christmas Eve. So I took Chris into the studio with me and put him on my lap. And at one point in the program, I did Night Before Christmas. And then we flipped open the King James Bible and went to St. Luke's. And we did the Christmas story as recorded there. And it's kind of stuck with me over the years. Before I begin, Robin in Victor, West Virginia, emailed in to me. Meanwhile, it bears remembering as you revisit the account from St. Luke that Yeshua was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, most likely spoke Aramaic instead of Hebrew, was treated as an outcast, and was ultimately killed by the powers that be. He was, in short, a Palestinian. Pax vobiscum. Robin. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them, concerning this child. Story. Good story. And she's got type on the screen. Speaking of miracle births, time for our announcement. We ought to name this kid Justin, as in just in time. For those of you who don't know, I've given enough clues. I'm 61 years old. I'll be 62 next August. Next August is when Kathy and I will be giving birth to a new baby, either a boy or a girl. We don't know the sex yet, but on the same day that we found out that we were going to lose our job, we also got a positive pregnancy test. Now, Kathy is considerably younger than I am. This will be her first child. And I only need three more for a baseball team. Inside you, I see it showing. Oh, the seed inside you, baby, do you feel it growing? Oh, no, I hate this song. You didn't tell me you were going to play that. This is a pro-abortion song, isn't it?
Didn't have to keep it.
Oh, my God. You told me you were going to play something to accompany the announcement. I didn't know you were going to play Paul Anka's Having My Baby. Well, open your mic and tell people how you feel about this. We are what? We're about 6-7 weeks pregnant now?
I feel nauseous about it. I'm 8 weeks Thursday.
8 weeks.
So I know it's still early to tell people, but we thought we might ought to tell people.
Because we might not be back on this.
We still tell people.
Right, while we still could.
So, I feel really excited about it. I mean, for those of us who know us intimately know that we've been trying for years and years and years, and had we known how hard it would be, we would have started before I was 30. So
you'll never see 30 again.
No. I'll probably never see my toes again either after the way I've been eating.
Well, trying to have a baby is probably one of the more fun things that you try to do. You know, we stuck with the natural way of trying it, but it got to be kind of interesting there when Kathy was keeping track of her temperature and. Ovulation, and I felt like a Catholic. I felt so Catholic. It was just like, oh my God, I've become a Catholic. But every time the temperature would dip, Kathy would say, "Mike, come here, quick." Right, that's right. I just had that major surgery, and you all thought I was out for a week because no, I was. I was in agony. Mike, come here. Guess what, honey? Come on, let's do it. Now that's bad enough if you're 31, but when you're 61,
Grandpa Daddy,
Mac. Now we are a Southern family. I've been here in the South for 40 years. Kathy was born here, and of my children, three of them were born in the South. Of my grandchildren, two of them were born in the South. But we are a typical Southern family because in this instance. This baby will have nieces and nephews older than it. No, is that no? Yeah, it'll have nieces and nephews older than it. And that is so Southern. And also, Kathy has said that when this child is born, it will refer to me, he or she will refer to me as Grandpa Daddy.
Or as I like to refer to it, you'll reach across the table and say, "You gonna finish those peas?
Those mashed up peas? Baby, give me them peas."
Honey, you need to buy two sizes of diapers now.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty weird, but on the other hand, what the hell? So that was our announcement, and the irony, of course, the resounding irony for both of us is... the fact that we found out pregnancy was confirmed just about the same day that it was also confirmed that we were both of us losing our jobs on the same day. Ow! And so for all the folks who figured it out and emailed us, congratulations, thanks. I appreciate that. All right. Have we got? I don't know that I have time to do Bush. I don't know that I do. This is fairly lengthy. This is the president's remarks to assembled Jewish folk graciously tolerating their rude refusal to celebrate Christ's birth after having gone and murdered him. Statement of the president. Thank you. You may be seated. Me and Laura want to welcome all you Hebrew-talking folk to the White House. You know, since Ari Fleischer left, the closest we've come to having any Jew-Safarians around here is when John Ashcroft gets to belting out Fiddler on the Roof tunes while doing his business in the little boys' room. You ought to hear him sometime. While he sings so much like Little Angel, you just can't help but wonder whether or not the good Lord Dunnan made America's top cop a bona fide soprano gelding. Anyhow, I've asked the photographers here this evening because I'm told you all are smack dab in the middle of Chanukah, which officials in the White House Department of Faith tell me is just a fancy Hebrewish word for celebrate the murder of Christ. In any case, you folks still have the right to practice your peculiar faith here in America, and I'm bound to respect that, even though it strikes me as a bit odd that I'm up here lighting this menorah thing when Christians are not yet free to ignite crosses in Israel. But that day will come, oh yes indeed. And so, my hairy sideburn friends, who only follow the first half of the Bible, I'm glad and thankful that the holiday you invented is giving you something to keep you busy, while all the real Americans who aren't going to get their unbelieving non-Christian butts fried in hell are doing their part to toady up to the man you murdered nearly 2,000 years ago, right? You know, Bible-believing folk like myself, while spiritually revolted by your continued failure to listen to common sense, nevertheless accept that it is every fundamentalist Christian self-interest to see that you live long enough for Jesus to swoop down from his cloud-dwelling home in the sky
and exterminate your entire race as payback for what you did to him. The Bible tells us in Matthew, so it shall be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That furnace of fire part might be politically incorrect and make some of you folks feel a bit queasy, but I'm afraid those are God's promises and my religious beliefs, and I should respect them even as I feign respect for your beliefs. Thank you. Friends, that's why today my administration sets aside, however momentarily, our absolute glee in having the Lord's assurance that every last Israeloid who doesn't renounce their false religion and embrace ours is going to burn like a never-melting candle of sizzling flesh forever tortured in a bubbling lake of red-hot lava. Now, I don't want to preach, but this is the eve of my Savior's birthday, and I feel spiritually inclined to use this sensitive time to proselytize. I'm no Franklin Graham, but I'll do my best. My dreidel-spinning friends, you can avoid an eternity of being burned alive over and over again by making sure your name is written on God's A-list, the Book of Life, and the only way to get on that A-list is to sell your soul to Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we prepare to light the silly candles on this thing that look like one of Liberace's candelabras, and in pretend deference to you people who without Jesus in your lives are nothing, I ask each and every one of you to bow your heads and with me and pray along. And dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa killed your son 2,000 years ago. That same sinful blood is running through my veins today, and I ask you, forgive me. I know it's too late for all my ancestors who are burning in hell right now for picking the wrong religion to come into my life and save me. And I believe that you are the Messiah that was promised to the Jewish people, and we were just too plain stupid to see it at the time. I'm taking a stand tonight. I ask you to forgive me my sins, God, and I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. I promise to take this silly cotton cap off my head and get my good-for-nothing self into a Bible-believing church next Sunday, where I will make a public profession of faith and get myself baptized. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Mr. President, for leading me to Christ on my false holiday, Chanukah, which I will no longer celebrate, and amen. And now let all Christians who have the boldness to speak out the truth on false holidays and pray that we can reconcile our fervent desire to proselytize and convert with the need to keep enough people practicing false religions that will never be eligible for taxpayer disbursements from the Department of Faith-Based Living. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to all, and happy birthday, baby Jesus.
The air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told.
It's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to colacecapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a twinkle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk.
talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio
All
Network.
Boys, come on.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Are you stressed because you haven't gotten all of your Christmas shopping done? Well, get the toy that all the kids with mentally disturbed parents find under their tree. The Captured Saddam Doll.
Wow!
The Captured Saddam Doll comes with the long-haired drug Saddam, his spider hole, and all the crap in it.
I can't believe it.
Each doll comes with its own body odor.
Woo, stinky!
Not one doll smells the same. Order within the next 10 minutes, and you'll also get the mini letters sent to Saddam telling him to stay in that damn hole until we need you.
Neat.
These dolls will only be available for a short time, so act now.
I want a Captured Saddam doll for Christmas, Dad.
So do I, son. So call 1-800-MARKET-OUR-WAY to a second term now and order your Captured Saddam doll for only $199.95. Order two Captured Saddam dolls and get a Go AWOL and still get in the White House for Dummies book free. Brainwash your kids this year and get the Captured Saddam doll today.
Customers must like playing war games on PlayStation 2 and playing with action figures like our Commander-in-Chief or pay an extra tax of $2,000 per doll. Supplies are limited. Order today.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no. Just say no.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Zone. This is Tom Hartman helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. We are doing our naughty and nice for Christmas here, going through the list of in the different areas of our lives, of our world, who's doing well and who's out of control. And our next one is the environment. Before I get to that, though, just let me tell you, our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont. The music was engineered or edited by Brad Walrod in New York City. And thanks to Shar Jones for showing up on Christmas Eve and engineering our program brilliantly, as always, in Detroit, Michigan. Thanks to the folks in the chat room for sharing the afternoon with us. It's always wonderful to see you there and to get feedback from you and hear your thoughts and to converse with you during the breaks. Thank you very much. Okay. Naughty and nice. Nice trees. They make the world a more beautiful place. They provide sound buffers for large urban areas. They reduce utility bills. Using them as windbreaks, they can give you 10 to 20% cooling in hot climates and 20 to 30% heating reduction of heat necessary in cold climates. They reduce flooding by intercepting rainfall. They produce a sense of rootedness and community. They clean the air. They remove dust particles, absorb ozone, carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, other pollutants. They soften the harsh contour building. They do all kinds of wonderful things. Trees prevent soil erosion, freshen the atmosphere. Our naughty in the environmental era or area, the Bush administration. Yeah, George Bush, for proposing his Healthy Forests initiative. As CBS News reported, quoting Sean Cosgrove, a forest expert with the Sierra Club, quote, "The timber industry fought real hard for this bill for a reason, and it's not because they want to remove brush and chaparral. Through and through, this thing is about increasing commercial logging with less environmental oversight. We have got to stand up and take this country back. And you and I, we can do it. We can do it. We have done it before. We will do it again. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
there's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network. My fellow America.